Okay, I kind of started a special New Year's sermon several weeks ago, and then Brother Stewart was here, and I ran over with that, and I'm going to get back to that a little bit anyway, and finish it this week, maybe next week. We'll see what happens. But as I had mentioned, it was a sermon I'd originally preached back in 1989, and found a whole handwritten. If I get lost a little bit, I can't read my writing anymore, and I wrote too little back then and all that stuff, but I guess I could have just redid the whole thing, but I figured I'd just preach from that old handwritten sermon I found. I originally called it "For the Time Will Come," and modified it a little bit this time and said, "It would appear that the time has come." And Paul wrote to young Timothy, pastor at the church at Ephesus, his protege in many ways, his son in ministry, he would have considered him. He said, "I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith." And Paul wrote to young Timothy as he was facing execution, and he was concerned with the things that were transpiring in his day. And brethren, we ought to be concerned with the things that are transpiring in our day. I'll have some more to say about this tomorrow, but you know, Brother Hal has tomorrow off, and we used to have that day off, I think, when we were still working. And this nation that honors an ungodly reprobate, a liar, a plagiarizer, a philanderer, a whoremonger, a communist, and an apostate. And I would say, of course, I mean Martin Luther King, but there's a little difference between him and the man that's in the White House now, too, or most any of them that have preceded him. But I'll get into that tomorrow. But we should be concerned about those things. We should look and we should realize, brethren, the time has come. As a nation, as Christians, as churches, that'll not endure sound doctrine. We're in the latter stages of what apostasy that Paul wrote of. And I said, he says back in the previous chapter, Paul said to Timothy, in Timothy 3:13, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." And as I've said before, I think we are very much like the church at Thyatira, where the Lord told them, "But I say unto you and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden but that which ye have already. Hold fast till I come." Hey, brethren, we need to be holding fast. And I've heard the expression, folks, say, "I'm at the end of my rope," and we're getting there. But you know what you do when you get to the end of the rope? You tie a knot and you hold on. And the Lord said, "Hold fast till I come." And we began by looking at the doctrines that professed Christians won't endure. And Paul's not talking about the world. The world never would have accepted these things to begin with. They never would have endured these things to begin with. But Paul's speaking about those who profess to be Christians. And again, we see Southern Baptist Convention embracing sodomites, the United Methodist Church embracing sodomites, and many other apostasies and errors of our day. They won't endorse sound doctrine, and we touched on it. They won't endure sound doctrine about salvation. There was a time when virtually everyone who named the name or claimed the name of Baptist believed the doctrines of grace. You'll be looking long and hard to find anybody that believes that today. And unfortunately, I found out that a lot of them that claim to believe it don't practice it. We talked about the matters of what the scripture says about dress standards. And I'll get into some of this later, but when we get back to Galatians, we're going to be touching on that as well. But brethren, you know, we ought to be concerned about modesty. We ought to be concerned about appearance. And we ought to be concerned about gender-appropriate clothing and bearing, and not add to the confusion of our day. We ought to be concerned about marital standards. And I'll, again, deal more with this when we get back into Galatians, because we were dealing with that there before we took this little excursus. But the Lord said in Luke 16:18, whosoever put away his wife and marrieth another committeth adultery, and whosoever marrieth her that is put away from her husband committeth adultery. Brother, we live in a day and age when these things are just nothing to wink at. These things are accepted and embraced even in the Lord's churches. Fornication has almost seemed to be expected in our day and age. Not that it didn't always go on, but it didn't used to be celebrated and accepted and applauded. But that's what we've come to. And it's not going to get better. Folks will not endure sound doctrine on many of these things. Folks will not endure sound doctrine on the matters of finance. You know, there's debate even amongst Baptists like us about tithing. And, you know, you say, well, do you have to tithe? No. I want you to tithe, I think. I ought to tithe. I know I'll tithe, and I always have. I know that the principles that are set down in the Old Testament may not bind us, but the moral principles that are there are principles that are eternal. And we can kind of gauge our own standing with God, our own commitment. It's the same thing about folks, and, you know, we have folks that come here, and I don't try to enforce anything. I'm not the boss of anybody, even who's our member. Folks that have come in here and they're not even members of the church. But what are we teaching our kids? Not only about the way we live our moral lives, but, you know, if we come to church 45 minutes late or a half hour, what are we teaching our kids about our commitment to the Lord's church or what we think about the Lord's church? Are we a half an hour or 45 minutes late for work or catching an airplane or going to a ball game? I doubt it. Some things to think about that kind of engage where our heart is. The prophet Malachi said in Malachi 3:8, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and in offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse. But ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And so these things that they'll not endure sound doctrine on these teachings today. They'll not endure sound doctrine about personal standards. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You know, we don't belong to ourselves, so we're to glorify God in our bodies, the things we look at, the things we listen to, you know, the TV or movies or the internet and those things. We ought to care about that. We ought to be concerned about that. We ought to seek to glorify God in all that we do. And folks will not endure sound doctrine today about the Lord's true church. You know, they look at it and say, well, that old way's too old. Those old paths are too old. Jeremiah 6 and verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Now, folks don't want to hear about the old ways. You know, they want to get with it. Now, look at things about the Lord's true churches and the doctrines of the Lord's true churches. And they'll say, well, you know, things like, well, baptism, it's not important. You know, it's not worth dying for. I'll tell you what our Baptist forebears thought it was worth dying for. The Roman church put them to death. They drowned them. Even the Protestants would drown them because they wouldn't submit to their baby sprinkling, and they wouldn't acknowledge the baby sprinkling. They said, you want to be submerged? We'll submerge you. These things are still true, and they still hold true. You know, they'll not adhere to the old doctrines about the secession of the Lord's churches. And I'm not, you know, a paper link, rattle a chain, but I'm going to tell you what. The Lord's churches have always been here. And there's always been His true churches. He said that the gates of hell would not prevail against it, and it hasn't. His true churches were never associated with Rome. And they never came out of Rome. And they were never Protestants. Time was that Baptists in America knew that. Now you've got a thing called the Southern Baptist Convention, and they claim to be the biggest Protestant. The Protestant, and I think they call themselves a church too. That's how ignorant they are. The biggest Protestant church in America. Maybe they are, but if they are, they're not Baptists anymore. The Lord said in Matthew 16 and verse 18, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, Peter's profession, that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So Diane was pointing out to me today, was it World Religion Day? And today's supposed to be World Religion Day, when we all hold hands and sing Kumbaya, and you know that we're all brothers and sisters, and we're all going to the same place. And I ain't going where they're going.
Nope.
You know, and I don't want to. And I care for them. If it's the Lord's will, I pray that He would save them and open their eyes. I can't do that. But if your church didn't have its origin in the first century and in the nation of Israel, it's not the Lord's true church. Jesus Christ founded His church as He called out His disciples from those that had been prepared by that man that had been sent from God, John the Baptist, as He called them and formed them into His church. And there's never been a time since then that one of His true churches hasn't existed upon the face of the earth. But folks don't want to hear that today. That's not very ecumenical. That's not very kumbaya. You know, that's bigoted. That's not tolerant. Folks won't endure sound doctrine standing up to the paganism and the false religions of the day. Jeremiah 10. We're familiar with this passage, and I could refer to many more, but Jeremiah 10, beginning with verse 1. Hear ye the word of the Lord. The Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen. Be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. The customs of the people are vain. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workman with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers that it move not. They are upright as the palm tree, but they speak not. They must needs be born because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good. For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great, and thy name is great in might. So we're supposed to be different. We're supposed to be apart. We're not supposed to embrace the things of the world and of paganism. And yet folks today will not endure that sound doctrine. They want to celebrate Christmas just like the Romanists do. They want to celebrate Easter just like the Romanists do and like everyone else does. It's fun, they say. Well, let me see. It's abomination, God says. We should be concerned with those things. Instead of embracing truth, they reject it. And as they reject truth, they are turned to error. And look what Paul says in verse 4. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned to error. You know, the rejection is voluntary. They reject the truth. A dead man can't receive it anyway, but they don't want to. They don't want to. It's not what they desire. They reject the truth. It's voluntary. It's deliberate. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth. But after that comes the judgment of God. And the reception of myths, the reception of false teachings, the reception of false doctrines is no longer voluntary. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. You see, when you reject the truth, you'll believe anything. When you reject the truth, you're turned to falsehoods and to fables and to lies. In Romans 1 in verse 18, I got my notes here. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. They don't want God in their knowledge, and he turns them over to a reprobate mind. Look about you today, and if you go back and read Romans 1, it's just the description of the perversion that surrounds us today. Men with men, women with women, and all these things that go on and the world about us. And brethren, we need to wake up to those things. And in particular, as we see what goes on, not only the commission of these things, but in verse 32, as Paul delineates all this, and we've looked at it before, I'm not going to read it all again today, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, but not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. You know, they call it gay pride days. Well, that word gay doesn't belong to them. And, you know, the rainbow doesn't belong to them. That was promise of God's covenant. And here these sodomites have taken these things, and people applaud that. They relish in it. The television. I saw something on, I don't know, I don't hardly watch anything but the news anymore, but I think it must have been during the news. And they had two black sodomites, two men keep kissing each other. And I was like, this is on the news on the television, right out there. And you know what? They don't care. Right out there for God and everybody else to see. But payday someday. Mm-hmm. God turns them over to a reprobate mind. They don't even realize it. They think, well, these things are good and proper, just the way things ought to be. But it's not. So once you reject the truth, you're receptive to every kind of error. Reject the truth and you'll believe any lie. Hell, you'll embrace evolution. The evidence continues to grow that Darwinism is false, and even, you know, true scientists say, you know, I may not believe in God, but this Darwinism stuff doesn't work. Doesn't matter. They keep teaching it. They keep preaching it. They keep embracing it until I can think of something else, some other way to deny God. And that he's the creator. And that they owe obeisance to him. Embrace the truth. You'll embrace communism. You'll embrace the whole New Age movement. You'll embrace all these things. Any lie will do. And yet, here we are today, and Paul wrote Timothy warning even in his day. Here we are today in the age of the super church. You know, I don't even know who they all are anymore, but they're on, you know, they're on the television and they're preaching, and they've got people all filled up around them as big as a stadium and applauding their prosperity gospels. Paul said again to Timothy, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. What's doctrine? You know, some folks say, well, I like to preach doctrine. That divides people. I mean, that's all that the Bible teaches. That was what the Lord's ministry, doctrine. That simply means teaching. Teaching. They'll not endure sound teaching. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They'll get the folks they want. I was telling Brother Stewart out there, you'll have folks, and you know, they'll go shopping for preachers, they'll go shopping for churches, they'll go shopping for somebody, they'll tell them what they want to hear. And I have people call me on the phone and they'll ask me about something. It's not the answer they want. Okay, fine. They're going to pick up the phone, they're going to call somebody else till they get the answer they want. Well, heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And you can look at all these big name evangelists and all. There's money out there to be made in this stuff. And again, I can't even think of all their names. I don't know who they are. I know that, you know, some of the old ones, you know, that used to be Oral Roberts, he's dead. But you know, some other folks like that, but they're out there. People are always throwing them up. You see them on the television. You see them surrounding Mr. Trump. His women preachers, you know, that are his spiritual advisors. That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense when you think about it. Pastors and teachers are chosen not for their faithfulness to the Word of God, but for their entertainment value. You know, that ever wanting to learn something different, something new. Paul said, heard an explanation when Paul was ministering during his one of his missionary visits in Acts 17 tells us, for all the Athenians and strangers there spent their time in nothing else but to either tell or hear some new thing. You know, folks want to hear some new thing. They don't want to hear that old stuff. They want to hear some new thing. They don't want to stand in the old paths and ask for the... They want to hear some new thing. They want to hear some new interpretation. They want to hear some new twist. Many of our Baptist forebears would comment, you know, if it's new, it's not true. The old book is the old book, and it doesn't change, and God doesn't change. So here we see in the pulpits, Hollywood, some I would call Hollywood. When you look at these preachers behind the pulpit, I call them funny mentalists many times. You know, they claim to believe, but they don't preach anything that's going to cost them anything. They don't preach the sound doctrines. And I'll say this, and then we'll maybe pick up and conclude this thing probably next week. And Brother Stewart was here, and I've talked with other folks, and there may be some out there, but I don't know any true churches today that are big. It's not in and of itself something to glory in, that you're not big, but I don't know any true churches that proclaim all the counsel of God's words. I'm not churches. Folks will tell me, oh, I believe the same as you do. But brother, they don't preach it, and they don't teach it, because that won't fill up pews, and that won't bring in the offerings.
Right.
And I doubt in this day and age whether true churches are going to grow very large. And I speak to the brethren, and I speak to folks around the country, like the carpenters and the store and other folks that are, you know, seeking. I understand, folks, we aren't perfect, you know. And I always encourage somebody to go find a better church than this one. But it's sad, at least to my knowledge, I don't know where that is right now. At least not any place that I can get to from here. Oh, there's some that are still holding the line up places. I'm thankful for the fellowship I have with Brother Gurry on off, and many of the other brethren we lift up in the Lord. And even if we don't agree with them on everything, that, you know, they're still of like faith and practice, but they're few and far between. And I just pray by the grace of God that He'll keep us. We can't do it. We're not anything. I'm nothing. But He's everything. And Paul tells Timothy, what we'll get back to next week, but he says, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who we work for. We don't work for the president of some convention. We don't work for a archbishop or pope. He says, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who we serve. That's who we seek to honor. That's who we seek to glorify. And I'll be the first to admit that this preacher does a rotten job of it most of the time. But the Lord knows our heart, that we desire those things. And I pray that we all desire to be conformed to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. We'll finish this next week, Lord. We'll take our hymnals now, and we'll stand and sing a closing hymn, page number 42, More About Jesus. You stand as we sing this closing hymn, number 42.
More of His Savior.
life for me. More about Jesus let me learn, more of His holy will discern. Spirit of God, thy teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of His faithfulness see, more of His love who died for me. More about Jesus in His Word, all in communion with my Lord, hearing His voice in every line, making each faithful saying mine. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more saying for us, more of His love died for me. More about Jesus on His throne, riches and glory all His own, more of His kingdom sure increase, more of His coming Prince of Peace. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of His saving for us see, more of His love guide for me.
Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. Father, we thank You for Your love, as undeserving as we are. Lord, we pray that by Your grace we might be that people that You would have us to be, and by Your grace we might indeed hold fast till You come. We might stand in the old paths. We might ask for the old ways. We might not remove those ancient landmarks. Father, our understanding is limited, but You've given us Your preserved, inerrant, and uncorrupted Word. And Father, may we learn from that. May we walk in its ways. Father, thank You for each that's here. Thank You, Lord, for Your everlasting love and for our Savior. Thank You, Lord, for the work of the Spirit that gave us life and opened our eyes and ears, and brought us to hear and to embrace the gospel of our salvation. That which was already accomplished, which had already been done, which was already finished. Lord, You brought us to the place that we could embrace that and receive the benefits from that, even now. Go with us each as we go our way this week. Lord, use us to Your glory. Be with those that need healing. Be with those that need comfort. And we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.